Good morning and welcome to Radio Free Silver, regime change radio from Grant County, New Mexico, activist capital of the Southwest. Well, good afternoon. This is Radio Free Silver. My name is Kyle Johnson, and yes, I am here with the very, very, very Mary Burton Risley, who has been mentioned so much in the program, and for whose benefit this event was took place along with Jerry Zawada and Betsy Lamb, who were her co-defendants in the trial in Tucson. This has been a rather protracted and complicated set of circumstances leading up to the event in Fort Huachuca, to the arrest that occurred during the event, to the arraignment, at which time Jerry Zawada and Betsy Lamb were taken into custody and denied bail because they were in violation of previous either bail or probation conditions that they were subject to. Fortunately, Mary was able to obtain bail, and so she was not incarcerated from the period of December until the trial in February 5th, I believe it was.
Fourth.
And so we're here with Mary. You've seen, hopefully you've seen also part one, and this is part two of the event that took place in support of them, the Festival of Hope, which Mary was unfortunately not able to attend due to her health, and I can well imagine the wear and tear, emotional turmoil that you know, is attendant with something like this. But we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. Well, I want to correct one thing. I was released on my own recognizance. There was no question of bail. I struggled with that because I really don't believe in bail. Because, you know, if you and I are arrested for the same thing, and I have the money to get out and you don't, where's justice in that? You know, I don't think bail is a good system at all. But, so I was out of my own recognizance. And I think you're right. I think I got sick, and I got really, really sick. I was so sick that I had to go to court in a wheelchair because I was so nervous about it. I had conned myself into thinking it was all right to go to prison. But really, I think I was very frightened.
It's a very serious thing to be confronted with for any reason.
Well, and I had visited both Jerry and Betsy. I'd been to the prison five times before in the 2 months. And, you know, it's a CCA prison, a Corrections Corporation of America prison. And
what's
which
their
is
Dow Jones?
Private for-profit. And it is just a terrible place. It's a really terrible place. So that probably increased my apprehensiveness.
Well, just a maybe just only the slightest digression. In the last few weeks, it's come to the attention of the media, not that it wasn't known before, that America incarcerates more people than any other country in the world, both in the absolute numbers of people that are incarcerated and, of course, in the percentage of the population. So when you compare it to somewhere like China, the number of people who are actually incarcerated in China is much lower because they have a lower number of total people that are incarcerated in relation to a much larger population. So America has now distinguished itself by throwing more people in the pokey than anywhere else.
That's right.
This is, and I think that that may be considered a digression, or it might be indicative of the mentality that produces these kinds of situations, that produces torture, that produces preemptive war, that that produces all of the other injustices that occur not only in our society, but of course, as it has been historically, to greater effect in other places in the world.
Well, and I think there are many people incarcerated in this country who represent as little threat to society as Betsy Lamb and Jerry Zawada or Mary Burton Risley had we been sent to prison.
But it's the example that you set. That's why you're dangerous.
Yeah, I guess. The example of standing up and saying no to something that is really, really wrong.
Yeah, that's what they don't want.
Yeah, and people's silence, you know, is always taken as complicity. As well, they nobody's in the streets, nobody's complaining. This must be okay with everybody.
Well, I attended not only, of course, the Festival of Hope, but the following morning before the trial, There was a gathering outside of the courthouse, a bit of a rally, and to gather support. And then there were no cameras permitted inside the courtroom, but I did attend the trial. And it was very interesting. It's not every day that one goes and sits in federal court. So an interesting process, and also a very moving one in this case because of the statements that were made by all of the defendants. A large part of their, correct me if I'm wrong, but of their reasoning for being arrested was to challenge the government on its policy of employing torture. And George, it is torture. It is torture. We do torture. That's our policy. That's what America does. And so with that, let me leave you to read your statement.
Well, thank you very much. And I want to say that both the other people gave very eloquent statements, too.
Indeed.
Betsy had hers to read. Jerry had not been allowed to bring his with him.
Uh-huh.
And so he spoke extemporaneously, but very movingly, of uh-huh. his reasons for doing what he did. But here's the statement that I read.
Mm-hmm.
I walked through the orange barriers at Fort Huachuca last November 18th because I love my country, and I can't bear that our government is ordering or even condoning acts of torture in our names. I grew up in the Marine Corps. My dad retired as a lieutenant general when I was 17, but our family enjoyed a love of country infused with Thomas Jefferson's dictum that dissent is the highest form of patriotism. Our dinner conversations were spiced with passionate arguments about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Hiroshima, and farm subsidies. I'm sure my father is rolling over in his grave now because he was proud of how much more humanely we treated our Japanese and German prisoners of war than ours were treated. He would agree with Senator John McCain that in the matter of torture, the question is not who they are, it is who we are. When will we ever learn that acts of violence and debasement create enemies never endingly as the families and tribes and countries of the killed or tortured will hate us until some kind of meaningful reconciliation is engaged? We are only able to treat people in these despicable ways because we morally exclude them, because we place them outside our scope of justice, outside the circle within which we treat others as we would want to be treated. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, love your enemies. In the book of John, he said, love overcomes fear, and perfect love overcomes all fear. Love, not torture, is the anvil on which we will forge a world of peace and cooperation. The problems that humanity faces now are so vast that they can only be solved by working together, by making our scope of justice into an I that is we, with we including every human being everywhere on the planet. Climate change, weapons of mass global destruction, epidemics of new diseases, we must find a way to listen to each other and to act from our hearts, not from greed and fear, or we will perish from the earth like the dinosaurs. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, the choice is no longer between violence and nonviolence, but between violence and survival. Our action in November was a small one, dignified and prayerful, as you just saw in the video. Our action was taken in the spirit of the Nuremberg Accords. Individuals have international duties which transcend the natural obligations of obedience. They have the duty to violate domestic laws to prevent crimes against peace and humanity from occurring. We sought to prevent acts of torture by talking to those who would be exposed to its temptations in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Gitmo. If we had been allowed entry onto the base with our leaflets and our love, no one would have been harmed. Last night was the Festival of Hope, and our small action was undertaken in hopefulness. Hope is a verb and a practice, not a noun. Joe Volk, executive director of the Friends Committee on National Legislation, gave us this concept. He said, when you bring your deepest values into a situation of some risk, that is the practice and activity of hope. Henry Nouwen wrote, in the grateful life, everything that happens is an occasion to deepen your heart, to strengthen your love, and to broaden your hope. I do not want to go to prison, but if I do, I hope I may follow Betsy's and Jerry's good example of creative and loving service inside. May I experience any time there in just that way, deepening my heart, strengthening my love, and broadening my hope. Thank you. So I read this statement, and then, very surprisingly, the judge asked Captain Simone, the prosecutor, if he would like to cross-examine me. And that is not usually done in a sentencing hearing. We had, this wasn't a trial, because we had stipulated to the facts, and the government had agreed to dismiss the conspiracy charge against us. So there really was no trial of dispute about what happened. And but anyway, he did cross-examine me, and he didn't cross-examine any of the other two, either of the other two, and I took that as a compliment.
I think you scared him off.
Yes.
Yeah, because your comments were, I mean, her statement here that you just heard, of course, is very, very powerful. But if you had been in that courtroom and you had seen her in the state where she was, where she had been wheeled in the wheelchair, kind of, you know, obviously not at her best or at the highest level of energy, and yet see how she responded to this Army prosecutor quite forcefully, quite cogently, quite lucidly, and quite meaningfully, I'm sure, to all of us, and I think indeed to the judge.
Well, I just remember one line of questioning, and he said, "Miss Risley, is it your hope that next year more people will come to Fort Huachuca and break the law?" And I just looked at him and I said, "Captain Simone, I would never urge anyone to break the law. And I would never try to influence anyone to take a step with consequences as serious as this. But I do sincerely hope that the well of opposition to torture in this country will continue to bubble up, and will, that opposition will be stronger and stronger every year."
Indeed.
Well, you know, he didn't want any more talk like that coming. But another memorable time in the trial was when Betsy was giving her statement. She was giving some of the evidence that the United States is practicing torture. And then she looked up and she said, "You know, reading this makes me think it's the government that should be on trial here and not the three of us." And the judge looked at her and said, "How can I do that? I am a federal magistrate. Can you tell me how I can do that?" And it was an arresting moment because it was clear that she was very distressed about torture, and she wanted to do something about it. On the other hand, her job is to make a judgment.
Well, it's, you know, not having lived at the time that the country was established, of course, that is the source, the root of the idea of patriotism in this country. And yet, those men who were our founding fathers, as creative, as visionary, and as imperfect as they were as human beings, nonetheless, I think one of the most meaningful quotes from the period is that we, in making this declaration, we risk our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I do not see many people today in the government who are risking their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors when this country is threatened from enemies within.
Well, it's interesting to me that you know, yesterday President Bush vetoed the new effort on the part of the Congress to outlaw torture. And one of the people who urged him not to veto it was General David Petraeus. The New York Times reported that he felt that it was really, really important that all the intelligence agencies abide by the new Army Field Manual, which excludes torture.
And what was that about listening to the generals? That's very convenient at times, but obviously when it's meaningful, it goes right out the window. Mary Burton Risley, thank you very much for your courage. As a neighbor and a friend, I have to say that I was sometimes, does Mary, or is she, does she know what she's getting into here, you know? And but it also, at the same time, made me look at myself and think, what sacrifice am I willing to make? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm, needless to say, greatly relieved.
Yes.
That, I mean, the judge took care of herself. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a heavily militarized town.
Yes.
And she wasn't going to jeopardize her job, I don't think. But mm-hmm. she asked the prosecutor what the maximum fine was, mm-hmm. and it was $5,000. Uh-huh. And she said that's what they're going to get. Mm-hmm. And so she sentenced us to a $5,000 fine or 500 hours of community service.
Yes.
So we are all, you know, doing community service, and I, for one, am having a wonderful time uh-huh. doing some new things. Uh-huh. I'm working in the first grade in the Cliff Schools.
Really?
And just loving it. Twice uh-huh. a week, two mornings a week, I go for a short period.
Uh-huh.
And I know that Jerry works for Pache Bene in Las Vegas, and uh-huh. they do all kinds of service. They have a soup kitchen, and, uh-huh. you know, I'm uh-huh. sure he's... In some ways, it's interesting for all of us, but especially for the two of them. It's like they're getting paid for living their lives, uh-huh. you know, or at least they're getting credit against the fine for living their lives.
Indeed. So. Well, glad to have you among us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for your powerful statement and being willing to put it on the line. This issue, I suppose, will be continuing, and Radio Free Silver will continue to cover the issue. So I don't know what it will be, but doubtless it will come. So thanks for joining us once again. My name is Kyle Johnson. This is Mary Burton Risley, and this is Radio Free Silver. It is regime change radio by any media necessary. Thank you very much. We'll see you the next time. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Radio Free Silver, regime change radio by any media necessary.